order to help us to move forward. I want to welcome you this morning. Thanks for being here as we talk about the Holy Spirit today. You're the ones who weren't afraid to get up early today, and that's good. We always look forward to this day because about half of our 8:45 congregation will arrive at about 9:45. But that's okay. It's that way all the time this time of year. And the one in the fall is a lot better because we get an extra hour of sleep, right? And we have to kind of plow through this one. So we welcome you today. I want to ask you, if you would, to take those connection cards out of the seat backs in front of you and go ahead and fill that out real quickly, if you don't mind. Whether you've been here once, you've been here forever, you know the drill. We'd love to have more information about you, and we will let you know anything that you want to know. We'll keep you informed about what's going on in our church. Let me also encourage you to join with us this third Wednesday, which is this coming Wednesday, our third Wednesday prayer service, which is our once-a-month prayer initiative. This month, we're going to be doing some honoring, doing some memories, if you will, of a number of our folks in our congregation over the past 15 months or so who have gone on to be with the Lord. And these are congregation members, these are, you know, parents of some of you, etc. And please go to your WhatsApp, read the instructions there. There's some information we would like from you on some of those folks that we can recognize them and we can pray for you and your family specifically Wednesday night. Please come out, be with us, come out for dinner, let us know. Sign up on your card and let us know you're going to be coming so that we can have food for you and all that good stuff. Also, let me real quickly let you know that Volunteer Sunday, our Volunteer Celebration Sunday, is next Sunday. We pulled it up actually about 6 weeks this year for a number of reasons. We think it's the best thing to do. So just come, be ready, kind of be in a party spirit. You know, we're going to celebrate some people. It's going to be a really cool thing. And let me just real quickly encourage you. We don't do this a lot, but because of what they did for us. How many of you were able to come out and eat those pancakes, those health food kind of things yesterday morning, which kind of stayed with me the rest of the day? But anyway, we over at O'Charlie's, we did the benefit. Tim Bevel raised quite a bit of money. They didn't, you know, I didn't realize the totality of this. Every one of the people there from O'Charlie's did everything gratis. They didn't charge anything. They were there on their own time, etc. So look, do me a favor and let's go patronize that restaurant, okay? Nothing wrong with asking about that. You know, folks who do things like that, let me tell you, go see them. And I had a long conversation with the manager yesterday, and I would encourage you to do that. If you got to eat out, go eat out there. It's a good place. We tried last night, but it was too long a wait after father-daughter dance, and two little 10-year-old girls with their dads didn't want to wait that long, but we tried. So, but if you would, go out and have a good meal there with them, and I think it'll be a great thing for you. And I just want to encourage you and thank you for the way you have responded this year. This year has been, you know, it's, people ask me all the time, well, how's the church going? Somebody asked me last night. I said, well, you know, it's kind of where it is right now. I don't want to touch anything because I'm afraid I'll break it, you know. And you guys have just been phenomenal. Your faithfulness, your work and moving into ministries and that kind of thing. Last week we celebrated, we had what we think was probably our largest offering ever in our 12-year history, and you all are sensing God's call. You're sensing what He's doing and some of the things, and you're responding. You know, it's funny. I had two critical conversations this week with some people, and one of them, one occurred between a staff member and myself. We were kind of talking about, you know, church in general and that kind of thing, And she made a statement that really summarizes the way I felt about our church for so long. And you've heard us say that, you know, the way Jesus did things, he got into messy stuff, right? Church is designed to be a little messy. And she said, you know, I said, yeah, I know that. And I said, you know, she said, if I didn't feel called that our church was truly a mission field, I don't know how I'd feel about it. But, you know, to be here and to really contribute and to support and to get engaged and get involved, you've got to really see our church in particular as a mission field. And that's exactly who we are. We're kind of, you know, so many churches kind of like, you know, over the door, they say, now you go into the mission field. Well, that's great. You know, that's true. But, you know, the mission field's also even within our church walls. And there is much to do. There are hurts. There are hang-ups. There are heartaches that people experience right here that we need to deal with. We have so many resources available that, you know, I just want to encourage you that if there are things that you need help with, just let us know. And you know, just have the courage to ask for help. so many things that we can help you with, and because we understand that. The other conversation, it was great, and so many of you came out for the celebration of the life of my good friend Bob Fonrich on I guess it was Tuesday night, and that was quite an evening. Bob kind of put it together himself, and it was all Bob in many ways, but the visitation line was very long, all the way down the sidewalk, going into the conference center, and I was kind of working the crowd, you know, and meeting some folks and talking to some folks I already knew, and somebody said, well, how you feel? I said, I'm pretty tired, actually. I'm kind of beat. He said, church people giving you a hard time, huh? And I thought about it. I said, no, they don't. Matter of fact, they never do. I said, they just don't hear. And he kind of like, he didn't know what to say. It was like, wow. So I just want to thank you. You know, I just want to thank you for being that kind of church that understands. You know, I think it's rooted in an understanding among our people at Integrity. You know, church is not all about me. It's not all about me and what I can get out of it. Rather, it is about what I am called to give and how I am to contribute into the kingdom. And so, you know what? I just want to thank you because, you know, that night I thought about that. And it just really gave me pause. It's some of those moments, one of those surreal moments, right, where you realize, wait a minute. I know what they're trying to say, but, you know, that's just not quite right. So I just want to say thanks to you. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we started out this series talking about the fact that so often we have a mistrust of other people, right? And we don't, as Christians, we oftentimes don't play through the pain, right? We talk about that. We have excuses. We do this or we don't do that. We have a reason for not getting engaged in a lot of different things and fulfilling God's plan for His kingdom for us and the way that we fit into it. So often we make excuses. We showed the video of Willis Reed in the 1970 playoffs when he came limping out on the court, you know, for that Game 7 against the Los Angeles Lakers. And although he only played a few minutes, scored 4 points, his very presence after being injured severely in Game 5 catapulted his team to victory. And we talked about the fact that oftentimes we don't play through the pain because we don't trust others. We're worried about what they're going to think about us. We make excuses because we want to fit into some type of mold that other people we think might expect of us. And then we talked last week about the fact that so often we don't trust ourselves. And we looked at John chapter 15 where Jesus talked about the vine and the branches and how if we stay connected, if we remain in Him, that we would indeed understand how to live life in Him and that we have the power that we need or we have the influence that we need to deal with others. Funny, we talked and we did the song Live Like You Were Dying a couple of weeks ago, and it's funny because one of our church members sent me this really cool quote that I thought I'd share with you today. And talking about a lady was talking in this quote about a discussion she was having with another lady, an older lady, and said, we were discussing the philosophy of live each day as though it were your last. Well, said the sweet old lady in the group, lady she was having the conversation with, that's a fine saying, but for 20 years I've been using a philosophy that's a little bit different. It's this, treat all people you meet each day as though it were their last day on earth. You see the difference? You see the twist? Rather than talking about my last day on earth, treat people as if, you know what, it's their last day. And see if that makes a difference in how we try to influence others. God gives us Himself. God saved us in order for us to influence others toward His kingdom. We celebrated baptism this morning. We'll have some more baptisms in the second service this morning for some folks who have been steered toward Jesus Christ. Some folks who's on the scorecard in heaven, they're up under the category changed lives, which is really what matters, right? And we're here. God gives us, He gifts us, He equips us so for the major purpose, the main purpose for us to influence others toward becoming so much more like Jesus Christ. Well, there's a third thing that we often distrust or mistrust, third entity, and that's Jesus Himself. You know, oftentimes we don't trust Jesus Himself. And because of that, so many Christ followers, we are underachievers because we don't fully put our faith in our trust in Jesus Himself. Well, we're going to talk today about a source of power that Jesus gives us that is readily accessible. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the moment that we receive Jesus as our Savior, we have access to something called the Holy Spirit, because genuine conversion, transformation, brings with it the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 3, Jesus talked about this in his midnight, or actually probably way beyond midnight, in his middle of the night conversation with Nicodemus. And he talked about the Spirit, and he talked about the wind and the water, and he talked about how the Spirit of God would work. And he was foretelling the Holy Spirit who God would make available after him. Now, let me just clarify something. In the Old Testament, we see appearances of and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But we largely see the Holy Spirit manifestations being the Holy Spirit coming upon someone for a particular time frame, for the most part. But however, when Jesus went to the cross and he died and the resurrection occurred, and then a little while later we see in the book of Acts where God sends the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that we have what? We have access to the indwelling presence of Him. So it's not like in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit might be with someone or own someone for a period of time. Those who have received Christ, guess what? The Holy Spirit is a permanent indwelling presence. It's something that we don't have to, you know, ask for at a particular point in time. It's there. Here's the prayer we need to ask if we want the Holy Spirit's guidance. Not, Holy Spirit, be with me. He's already there if you're a Christ follower. It's, Lord, help me get my junk out of the way so the Holy Spirit can do His thing. Does that make sense? So that's the prayer that we need to be focusing on. What are the barriers? What are the obstacles that I need to get out of the way in order for the Holy Spirit to do His thing? So today in this passage, and Stephen's already read to you from John chapter 14. And Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit a little bit in John 14, John 15, John 16. And in the time we have today, we did, by the way, an entire message series a couple of Christmases ago on the Holy Spirit. So if you want to go back and time that on the website and find out some more in-depth stuff about the Holy Spirit as it related to the Christmas story, then you can go back and read that. Today, our goal is to give you a general synopsis of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's function, with the purposes of hopefully helping us to understand a little bit more about the access that we have to the Holy Spirit and the capabilities that we have when we simply tap into the power that is already there, when we learn how to activate what is already there. But first of all, I said a few moments ago that we often have doubts about Jesus. We often don't really trust Him. Oh, we say we trust Him, right? But when the rubber meets the road, do we really trust Him? I'm going to give you, as we have in the past couple of weeks, in the first two messages, I'm going to give you two or three questions that you might want to ask yourself around this issue. The first, and I think it's on your outline there, is this one. Some questions to try to get to this thing about my doubts about Jesus. Do I sometimes have doubts when I really think about Christ? When I really think about Jesus, do I sometimes really doubt it? Does my mind kind of wander a little bit, and do I think, you know, could this really be? Does this really make sense? You know, all this spiritual God stuff. You know, did He really live? Did He really do these miracles? I mean, did Jonah really spend 3 days in the belly of a whale, you know, and come out healthy? You know, did this flood thing really happen? Is all this? But let me say this to you: your doubts are okay. They simply undermine and simply substantiate and build up the need for faith. Right? We've said it before. Faith is only necessary in the absence of certainty. You see, if I could be absolutely certain about everything, if I could touch Jesus, if I could, you know, if I could talk to Him face to face, etc., watch Him do miracles, God do miracles for me, where would the need for faith be? Right? Where would the need for faith be? Faith is there because we are natural in our human nature. God did not want to answer all the questions. It didn't make sense, because when we have certainty, there is no alternative. Does that make sense? God does not have a problem with being A on your list of multiple choices. He wants you to choose Him. I did not have a shotgun wedding with my wife 28 years ago, right? I wanted her to marry me because she chose to say yes. Now, I had to do a little arm twisting, but you get the point, right? You get the picture. And so Jesus doesn't mind being on the multiple choice list because he knows that the merits of who he is stands upon itself. And it is enough for us to give our faith to. You know, I've heard the you've probably heard the statement too, you know, it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a Christ follower. It really does. If you want to think everything just happened, you know, by chance and da-da-da, whoa. It's kind of like taking my watch apart, and it's not too complex because I don't do complex things. But if I were to take it all apart, put it in a bag, all the component parts, shake it up, you know, if I'm kind of like an atheist or an agnostic and think everything just kind of came about by chance, you know, then it's reasonable for me to expect if I shake it long enough, I'm going to open up that bag of parts and I'm going to find a perfectly constructed watch. Now, what are the chances of that, right? So Jesus helps us understand that it's okay to have doubts, but faith through the doubts is important. Here's the second question I would encourage you to ask. Would I say that my lifestyle is more generous or more stingy toward others? Is your lifestyle more generous or more stingy toward others? That's a question that each of us have to have. Bud, you just congratulate us for having perhaps the biggest offering we ever had last week, and da-da-da. Well, no, that's not my point. My point is you as an individual. When you have opportunities to invest in the lives of others, are you generous or are you stingy? And finally, is my view of the Holy Spirit a biblical view? Now, how am I going to figure that out? Let's talk about the biblical view. Stephen's already read you out of verse chapter 14. So let's go in to some descriptors, if you will, of what the Bible says, of what Jesus says the Holy Spirit is all about doing. Now, if you want to read the origin of the Holy Spirit later on down the road, go to Acts chapter 2. As a matter of fact, in our Lift service on Sunday nights, Ricky Turner, our student pastor, has taken our young adults through the book of Acts, and they've already gone through Pentecost and the advent of the Holy Spirit, etc. Now, here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. First of all, the Holy Spirit reveals the gravity of my sinful nature. The Holy Spirit reveals the gravity of my sinful nature. Now, I'm not talking about gravity in that what holds me to the ground, right? We're talking about the fact that our sinful nature is grave. It is a grave problem. It is our sinful nature which comes out of the Garden of Eden, right? The incident there with Adam and Eve, etc., the serpent, Satan, that created a grave situation because there was separation from God. You see, God said that He wanted His creation to be one in harmony with Him. But when sin occurred, when man ate of the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil, right? That's what happened. And you see, we, all of a sudden, we became aware of good and evil, and we were capable of choosing evil. We chose evil collectively as a humankind simply because of the choices of Adam and Eve. They decided, I'm going to choose what I want to do over what God has commanded me to do. And so it's a grave situation, our sinful nature. When He comes, Jesus says, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. He will convict the world of his sin. Now, oftentimes we refer to the Holy Spirit, and we kind of do it inadvertently. We talk about our conscience, right? There is a conscience, and I'm a firm believer that the conscience came about partially because of, you know, that eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And however, our conscience, if we're Christ followers, really is in effect replaced by what? By the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us. Kind of think of an overlay on top of the conscience with the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit kind of controls that, right? That's what happens. When you're about to do something and you have questions, I don't know if I should do this or not. You know what? If you're a Christ follower and if you're walking with Christ, now Christ followers who are kind of like far away from God, etc., guess what? You've probably got layers and barriers and obstacles and all that's keeping you from hearing, experiencing the Holy Spirit, right? But if you're walking with Him and you're focusing on some things that we're going to talk about a little bit later, you know what? It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, whoa, you might think about that. Think about that. Now, what I love about the Holy Spirit, He does not force you. Right? The Holy Spirit is not force at all. Free will is a hallmark of God's relationship with us. It is. It just is. God says, I'm not going to force you to do anything. But you know what? I am going to prompt you. I'm going to prompt you. Ladies, what does it really mean if you were to tell your husband to send you flowers on Valentine's Day? Send me flowers on Valentine's Day or else. And then you receive them. How are you going to feel? Are you really going to feel fulfilled with that? I don't think so. You want them to do it, what? Out of their own desire. And I see some very ugly looks from wives to husbands now. I might have tread in an area that maybe I shouldn't have. But you get the point. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is He provides spiritual guidance. John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. Truth is truth is truth. Here's the point. The Holy Spirit will only reveal that which God has revealed in His Word. Now, this is an important point because there are quite a few schools of theology that would imply extra-biblical revelation. And they'll claim that just because I say so, the Holy Spirit says da-da-da. And oftentimes when that happens, and if it's not checked against God's Word, right? Because time and again, God said in His Word, test everything against My Word, right? We can get a little bit off base. We can get out of alignment with regard to truth. So the Holy Spirit provides spiritual guidance. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. And Stephen read the passage a few moments ago, chapter 14, verse 17 of that verse. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world at large cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you, as Christ followers, do, because He lives with you now and later will be in you. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. He will be in you. He will be a part of you. And that presence will be inseparable, if you will. All right, we're kind of okay with that? So first of all, the Holy Spirit reveals the gravity of my sinful nature. Secondly, provides spiritual guidance. The third thing, He directs me towards God's plan for me. The Holy Spirit directs me toward God's plan for me. Says at the end of that verse, verse 13, He, the Holy Spirit, will do what? He will tell you about what? The future. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting His own ideas. He'll be telling you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. Your plan, God's plan for your life. That is what is important. How often have we talked about folks who go to their graves, literally, their physical death, not having had any idea with regard to whether or not they fulfilled their purpose in life? Can there be any greater tragedy than that? I don't think so. I don't think so. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us toward the future and to help us. And this is not, you know, and this is His guidance. This is His helping us see clearly God's vision for us. If you don't have a vision for your future, you're lacking direction. If you don't have an idea of what God's plan is for you as a family, as a minister of the gospel, the moment you become a Christ follower, you are ordained to teach the gospel. Do you realize that? You are compelled, you are required, you are expected to be a conveyor of the gospel of Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why around here we don't talk about titles much. Just because I'm ordained, big deal, you know, big deal. Or I got a dot, big deal. You know what? We're all called to do the same thing. Your title doesn't matter. So, anyway, I love a quote by a guy named John Ortberg. And Ortberg is a pastor in California. And his wife, as a matter of fact, is one of my colleagues in the consulting business that we do. And one of the things that he quotes is really cool. He has put together a spiritual growth online tool that we are actually looking at bringing in next church year called Mondi. And we'll talk about that. Todd will be sharing more about that with you a little bit later. But Ortberg, who was kind of the architect of this tool and one of the most well-respected thinkers on spiritual transformation in all of the church, had a great quote that I want to share with you when we're thinking about God's plan for me and God's directing us toward that plan. John writes in Leadership Journal, he says, "Significant human transformation always involves training, not just trying. Spiritual transformation is a long-term endeavor. It involves both God and us." He says, "I liken it to crossing an ocean. Some people try day after day to be good, to become spiritually mature. That's like taking a rowboat across the ocean," he says. "It's exhausting, and it's usually unsuccessful. Others have given up trying, and they throw themselves entirely on relying on God's grace. They're like drifters on a raft," he says. "They do nothing but hang on and hope God gets them there." Now, he says, neither trying nor drifting are effective in bringing about spiritual transformation. "A better image," he says, "is the sailboat, which, if it moves at all, it's a gift of the wind. We can control the wind, but a good sailor discerns where the wind is blowing and adjusts the sails accordingly." Within working with the Holy Spirit, which Jesus likened to the wind in John 3, the conversation with Nicodemus, he means that we have a part in discerning the winds, in knowing the direction we need to go, and in training our sails to catch the breezes that God provides. That's true transformation. So you see, the Holy Spirit's presence is not about you trying to work your way somewhere. It's not about you just hanging on and saying, "Okay, God, do whatever you want to do." It's sensing the direction that God's moving and understanding how to adjust so that you can move with it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So understand that. That's what it means to live with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a big deal. Down the fourth thing that we talk about, with the Holy Spirit, the fourth thing the Holy Spirit does, he points to Christ and not himself. Now, we touched on this a few moments ago. The role of the Holy Spirit is to do what? He points to Christ and not himself. He will bring me glory, right? He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Okay? Then look back in chapter 14 in verse 26, another clue with regard to this role of the Holy Spirit, pointing to Jesus, not himself. "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative," and that Advocate is the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, he says, "he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you." Now, it's important for us to remember that the Holy Spirit points back to Jesus Christ, right? It's incredibly important for us to keep that in mind and to remember that. One of our good folks a couple of years ago, I got an email from him as they were traveling and actually here toward the church. He was on his way to pick up a church member. He and his wife were on the way to pick up another church member, a lady. And he said that I got to Hardee's, and the stoplight caught me, and right beside me was a patrolman. As I pulled off, I got the 35 and put my cruise on real quickly, he said. Didn't want to speed, the cop behind me. As I got to the light at Hanford Brickyard Road, the cop turned into the turn lane to go to the patrol station. I gave my signal and got into the inside lane to go straight. Then the thought hit me, he said, if we all drove as if a highway patrolman was behind us, how much safer we all would be. And then another thought hit me, he said, if Christians would just live our lives, if we would do this as if Jesus were right behind us, watching us, think how much better the whole world would be and our lives would be. It's a good point. So thanks, Mike Ward. Contrary to what people think, you're a pretty smart fella. But I'm just playing with you, man. But you know, you think about that. You think about that. The way the Holy Spirit directs us and our awareness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what this is all about, playing with power. the awareness of the Holy Spirit and the power the Holy Spirit gives us is something that is relatively, for most of us, relatively fleeting in everyday life. I mean, how often do we think about it? A lot of times we don't, you know? And that's why it's important for us to establish some routines to understand, recognize the Holy Spirit, and to say, God, empower me. Just, you know, I know you're there. Help me get rid of the junk again that keeps me from being able to access you. Well, and there's so many things the Holy Spirit... Look, we've only touched on a few, right? We've only touched on a few things the Holy Spirit does today. Don't think that this is an exhaustive list of the functions of the Holy Spirit, right? We're just trying to give an overview today. And I want to go outside, actually, the book of John to go to our fifth function that we want to talk about. And that's that the Holy Spirit offers prayers for us in times when we lose power. The Holy Spirit offers prayers for us in times when we don't know what's going on, when we don't know what to do. Have you had a situation recently where you just said, I have nothing. I have nothing left. I can't pray. I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't feel like praying about this. I don't even know if I want to contact somebody who's a friend or whatever the case might be. The Holy Spirit offers prayers for us when we don't know how to pray otherwise. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and beyond, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. See, the Holy Spirit, He intercedes. He comes and He knows what we need when we don't. And so He talks to God the Father on our behalf. Let me just give you three, four things as we close. Some things that cause us to miss the Holy Spirit's leadership. The first of those is apathy. Even Christ followers oftentimes, you know what? We're apathetic toward the things of God. We don't really think about it. We don't necessarily care enough. And that causes us to drift, not toward the Holy Spirit or with the wind of the Holy Spirit, but it just causes us to drift aimlessly because we are not exposed to and we don't have the access to the Holy Spirit when we're living that way. The second thing is distractions. Write that down in your outline. We have distractions all the time. We are continually distracted from living the life that God wants us to live. Now the question is, how are we going to handle the distractions? How are we going to handle them? That's the real deal. How are we going to handle those? Are we going to allow them to keep us from seeing God's power in our lives? And third, fear. A lot of times we don't want to know much about this Holy Spirit thing, right? Because it's scary. It's kind of like, guys, how many of us would rather talk about the game today or the Holy Spirit? What's the most popular topic of conversation? I know some folks, well, we've already been doing this today, right? What's our favorite topic today? You know, the ACC championship game or the semis yesterday or whatever the case might be, or the Holy Spirit, right? It's just not something we do. Guys, it's not macho, is it? So, Billy, what has the Holy Spirit done for you this week? That's not exactly the first question I asked my good friend when I walked in this morning. So we have this fear factor that keeps us from even wanting to know and understand more about the Holy Spirit. Let me give you four things that I would encourage us to do. And Todd's going to hit on these very healthily, if you will, in the Grow class that he's teaching this morning. So I would encourage you, you know, take some time. It's not going to be very long. If you're not already signed up, go spend the next hour or so with Todd, and he can help you through some of this stuff. Getting in tune with the Holy Spirit's leadership. First of all, we've got to have consistency in prayer. Prayer, by the way, is two-way communication. It's not designed for it just to be you talking to God and giving requests. It is a true two-way connection that, by the way, when done in accordance with God's will, does not end with amen. The amen is just, okay, I've kind of, you know, ended this segue of it. But you know what? There's also the rest of the day that prayer, God wants a prayerful attitude, a prayerful heart, two-way communication all through the day. Regular study and application of Scripture. It's important. You've got to have that to overcome this apathy, the distractions and the fear. Looking for spiritual significance of circumstances. Now, don't go get all Twilight Zone on this. Okay? Don't none of that, right? But when things happen, connect circumstances with the leadership of the Holy Spirit without letting it consume you. Some people are just looking for the Holy Spirit under every rock and every, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and it's just their lives get so mystical and they get so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. Right? And so we don't want to go to that point. But seriously, look for significance in circumstances. And finally, be aware of nudgings and hunches that God sends. A lot of times when you sense something, maybe I should do that. Maybe, you know what? It could be the Holy Spirit. Could be, test it. Go to Scripture. Call somebody. Call a buddy who's somebody else who's a Christ follower. What do you think about this? That's very powerful. Okay? And that's, guys, that's where a lot of us, we have to kind of let our walls down a little bit, because that's not easy for guys in particular to do. Again, this is not a real macho thing for us to be thinking about. But Jesus was the most macho man who ever lived. Show me any bodybuilder, any weightlifter, any athlete, any football player, etc. Jesus was the most masculine, most macho dude that ever walked the face of the earth. He was the model of masculinity. He's our role model. He's our guy. God wants you to be passionate about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to understand His functions. And He wants you to understand the source of power that you and I have access to. And as we close this today, we close this message, the thing we got to remember about power is that, you know, our laptops, our phones, etc., we got to have power to charge them up, right? But you know what? They don't get charged up until we do what? Plug them in. Until we plug them in. It's kind of like you're the little thingy on the end of the power cord, right? Holy Spirit's kind of like that receptacle, right? You know what? The receptacle, you know, when I forget to charge my phone at night, or if I forget to plug my computer in, the wall does not somehow like come out of its place to match up to wherever the plug is if I forget, right? I have to make the choice to plug it in. See, that's what we have to do. We make the choice to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit points us toward Christ, reveals the gravity of our sin. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit is power for us. What is the Holy Spirit to you? What do you need to do to plug in to the power of the Holy Spirit? Father, God, thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You will help us to become more and more aware of all the distractions, the apathy, the fear that keep us, Lord, from plugging into Your power, which is so available, which is so just, it's just amazing the level of power You give to us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God, if we were just simply to strip away all the stuff in our lives and just really look, those of us who are Christ followers, and if we really recognize what could have been in our lives, it would be a whole lot easier to see how Your Holy Spirit has already guided us and directed us. Maybe we've made some bad decisions, but you know what? As always, it could be a lot worse, right? And we've made some good decisions, God, simply because of following and leading the nudgings that You give us. So God, help us not to be freaked out by this. Because I know even now, after all these years of being a Christ follower, it freaks me out sometimes. But God, help us to lean into You and to want to know more about Your Spirit and to live in You and to live with You. So Father, I pray for those today who would say, yes, I need a fresh connection with the Holy Spirit so that I can have the power that God wants me to have. If that's you today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. On the back of that connection card is just a few words with regard to how you can do that, how you can receive Christ, how you can see things change in your life by giving your life to Him. He doesn't promise a bed of sunshine and roses all the time. But Jesus does promise to go with you. He gives us His Holy Spirit to help guide us and lead us through these difficult times. And that's one of those other things we didn't specifically talk about. The Holy Spirit guides us through difficult times. So, Lord, thank You for Your teaching on this. God, thank You for Your role and for the function that You play for us. May we lean into You and live into You every day.
Thank you.
God, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, you intercede on our behalf. God, you give us power, you give us strength through your Holy Spirit to live each day. God, go with us. Change us. Make us new. Father, may we access, may we plug into your power to live the life, God, that you have planned for us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us. Nice way to write a song, bro. And play it on the piano.
I gave it to us.
Y'all play now. Why don't you play a little bit where we can embrace as we leave. Can you do that, man? Hey, and as you leave today, don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards along with our offerings, our tithes, and the boxes in the back. God bless. Have a great day and a great week. See you soon. Third Wednesday prayer. See you Wednesday evening. God bless. Have a great day and a great week.
God is gracious, He's moving among the nations, preparing a bride for Jesus, and proving He reigns. His Spirit is tearing down walls, built on the pride of men. To those who've rejected Him, He's reaching His hand out again. So we will embrace Your love. Our God is preparing a feast. The Spirit and bride say, come, calling out to stands with oil, and He is restoring His people by rains of sweet renewal, and the music of heaven will soon